morning table. Let's all stand together and worship the Lord.
What love is this, that Christ would die for you? His goodness is better, his righteousness, the sinner's only thee. Oh, foolish Christ, be crucified, the work is finished. All my hope is in Jesus, all my hope is his love.
Family, it is good to see you, good to get to sing with you this morning. We're going to just continue to lift up the name of Jesus together and remind ourselves this morning also of our posture before him. So that's the great thing about getting to sing worship music together, especially to start off our day, is that we both remind ourselves of the glory of God and of who we are. So let's worship together.
Through Christ. are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the ones in need. For every thirst and every hunger, you are everything. Blessed are the worn and weary. Blessed are the ones who grieve. In every moment unexpected, you are everything. Seek you is to find you, and to know you is to want you, and I want nothing more than you. To see you is to love you, and I can't believe I get to, and I want nothing more than you. Mercy giver, blessed is the way of peace. I will trust your heart and hand, you are everything. Yes, I will trust your heart and hand, you are everything. To seek you is to find you, and to know you is.
Thank you so much for waking us up this morning and bringing us together. Lord, thank you for your mercies towards us that are new every morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides and directs. Thank you for your word that reminds us of your love for us and your sovereignty and your power and gives us a window into your character and who you are. Lord, we thank you that we even get together as family and just to praise you and celebrate you together. Lord, this morning we are a blessed people. Lord, this morning we are those that glory in the work of your cross. Lord, this morning we are those that don't want to be known by our own accomplishments, but want to be known by the fact that you live in us. So this morning, God, we pray that you would do these things in our hearts. cause us to think and feel these ways. Lord, instruct us through your word. Lord, we thank and praise you for all your many blessings. We look forward to our time together this morning. Look forward to hearing your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. Drink this off first. Well, good morning, family, part two. Good morning. Good. That was like four people. Good morning. There we go. There we go. I'm telling you, I come from the kind of the old throwback Baptist background where just there's someone who's talking the whole time during service. So you're like, I don't know if the pastor's supposed to speak or the person who's speaking in their chair is speaking. But it's good to see you guys. It's always good to hear your voices and hear you guys singing. I just got a couple of quick announcements for you, and we're going to keep rolling with service this morning. It is possibly the most wonderful time of the year, which is Wednesday Ministries are coming back on this coming Wednesday. Who's excited? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Campfire's back with Awanas. That's exciting. Parents, if you have not signed your kids up, do that today. Bonfire's back with their kickoff night. And then Pastor Dave is back with a class for on Wednesdays. You'll hear more about that in a little bit. But 6:30 here in the sanctuary, over in the refinery, and all over this campus, there will be all kinds of people here learning more, growing closer to the Lord. If you are not a part of it, make yourself a part of it in whatever those windows are. You need to sign up for something so you can be here with us on Wednesday night. It's going to be a treat all fall long. Next announcement, because I don't remember all of them. Oh, yeah, there's a membership class coming up Friday, the 19th in the refinery. I'm going to assume you got to register first. If you've been hanging out with us for a while, you're like, I don't know if I'm hanging out or leaving or what you're doing. You're dating us, basically. Stop dating. Come to the membership class. Find out more about what's going on here, the heart of our pastors, the heart of our church, so that you can come and be a part of this wonderful family. 6 p.m. on the 19th, 11:30 a.m. on Sunday the 21st, so that you can just plan your schedule now accordingly. We'd love to have you join and be a part of our family. And then this is exciting because it involves food. We're having a cookout for our missionary family, the Wilkies. That cookout is going to be on the 25th at 6 at the Barron's home. You want to RSVP first. Numbers on the screen there, and their email is on the screen as well. I'm sure you want to RSVP early. I think there's going to be a ton of people there because if I'm not mistaken, the Wilkies are retiring this year, and they have served super faithfully. I'm trying to find their faces somewhere in this room. I'm just not. There you are. Hello. Hey, hey. So just praise the Lord for your service and for, like, the witness of your ministry. Yeah. Amen. So these are some folks that you want to come out and celebrate. So contact Bill and get yourself on the list so that you can celebrate them on the 25th. Amen. If you're missing anything at all as far as announcements, sometimes they go fast. Make sure you email Lori in the office so you can get signed up for the newsletter so that everything that we are saying, you will find out more about there. All right. Passing things off to Pastor Dave. You have a great morning. Oh, kids, you are dismissed. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Kiddos, you are dismissed. Every morning, one of the three of us, Pastor Dave, myself, or Pastor Chris, will always remember that the kids need to be dismissed.
It'll be okay. Give me that a little closer just a second. I'll use that. Thank you. Good stuff. Well, thank you, Kenny. Good to be with you this morning. We have a very a full schedule as part of our service today, and it's such a wonderful day. We have so much to share. Let me just follow up on just two pieces of Kenny's announcements, and then I'm going to do a part two. The Wilkies, yes, on the 25th, which I believe is a Thursday night, it's important that we have a count because if all 350 of us show up, that could change the location. So we do need you to register if you'd like to be there to honor the Wilkies. And then on the 28th, that Sunday, we're also going to have the Wilkies up front with us as we talk about what God has done over, three or four decades or more. And so we want to celebrate that. But also, this members meeting this coming Friday and Sunday, we need you to register so that we can be prepared for food. But let me just say that the way we have designed this so-called iteration of the members meeting, a new members meeting, is that we're going to have dinner together for anyone that is interested in getting to know me or Pastor Chris or if you're interested in our church, you just want to come and know more, you are not obligated to stay for the class. This reminds me of my days at Towson University that, and I won't mention some of the guys in the room that were with me, we would make it all the way to school early in the morning to the student union where the cafeteria was. And yes, I'm Baptist, so that's, you don't go to classes, you go to the cafeteria. And we would have breakfast and somehow never make it to class. And then we'd go home. And then we come back the next day and go to the cafeteria. So this is your opportunity to go to the cafeteria and have a wonderful dinner with us and get to know me and the big picture of what God is doing here at Perry Hall, and then make a decision if you want to stay. But there's about 90 of you that should be there. And we keep asking you to come. And so I am encouraging you, if you are not a member, under no obligation, come and hear my heart for what it means to be a part of this family. Have dinner and make your decision then. And if you need childcare, just let us know. We will take care of that. Very, very good. Part two of the announcements. That was Kenny's. I was just adding some commentary. Part two, it's an exciting, exciting thing we get to do when we get to talk about new families. So we're not the teachers yet. That's a nice slide. We're almost there. Just bear with the pastor. He just rambles on. I think you have a couple photos back there, Miss Donna and Mr. Bill. And I'd like to start with this one. Now, did the Whites get here in time? I know you arrive at around 10:30 usually, but raise your hands. Joel and Tanya, raise your stop. Joel and Tanya, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. I want them to know who you are. This is congratulations to the White family. So this is Noah White and his beautiful wife, Emily. And this is little Cooper Allen White. And we just want to say happy birthday to Cooper. Today is his 1 month birthday. And so beautiful picture, beautiful family. We celebrate what God's doing in young families here and love this family, especially if you have photos of a newborn, you're a member here, and you want us to put your picture up, or the baby's picture, whatever you decide, then please let us know. We would like to do that. Let me see another baby picture, please. Unbelievable. Now, this is kind of cool. This little fella is Jefferson Sonny Lubecker. Or the Lubeckers can't be here today, right? There's just no way. This is just 2 days ago. There's no way. Okay, good. So maybe they're watching. Lubeckers, here we are. This is, as I said, Jefferson Sonny, 9 pounds, 7 ounces, this little guy. But here's what's so cool, and I hope we can share it one day. Little Jefferson, now little brother to Wade Lubecker, was actually born in the car. His timing was a little off, or mom wasn't thinking. There could be a lot of things. And little Jefferson was born in the car. So he is doing wonderfully, and so is mom. And so can we just give him a hand for this? And thank you to Mark or to Kenny or to whoever arranges these slides, because it came to me sideways and I just didn't love it. And this is exactly how I wanted to see little Jefferson. And we're thrilled to add future new members to our church. Did I say anything about the new members class? Okay. Okay. So good stuff. Not nearly as exciting, but more importantly, there's the pastor's class on Wednesdays, begins this week, along with everything else. But it's different this time. So Pam Priggle and myself will be leading, Pam facilitating, the Wednesday night class for the first 6 weeks is going to be a course in real change. Now, this is where it gets tricky. This is only for people, listen, so that you don't mess this up. This is only for people that still need to change. And especially for those that don't think they need to change. So either one, but here's the challenge. This class will move from the sanctuary. It will not be live streamed or Zoomed. It'll be in the coffee connection. And Kevin tells me we can only have 20. I say 25. Now, don't get all upset. We're going to keep doing this class until every one of you goes through. That's how important we believe this class is. So we're going to have registration set up this week. I'm going to do an introduction on Wednesday, and off we're going to go running if indeed you realize that you still need change. In other words, in the words of Paul Tripp, you are not yet a grace graduate. You still need change, and God is still changing you. So please sign up. When we hit our limits, we'll let you know. We'll be back to a normal programming at the end of that 6 weeks. So please pay attention to that. Now, that's the end of the announcement as I know them. Now we turn to missions moment, and the first thing we're going to do is thank our teachers. So this is the Sunday that every year we ask teachers, both from our school but also throughout our congregation, those that are involved in education, whether it be in the friendly, safe confines of Perry Hall Christian School, whether it be in the comfort of a home as a homeschool mom or dad, or maybe you teach in the public arena. And so we love to take some time to thank you, appreciate you, and pray for you. This is the Sunday that we have set that aside. Dina would normally join me here on the stage as she represents, what, over 60 teachers, I believe, at least 60 faculty here. But she's really sick. I think she got COVID, and then it has just lingered, and that was about 7 or 8 days ago, and she's worse today than she was then. So we're sorry that she could not be with us. But I just want to remind you, Scripture has so many wonderful things, whether it be Deuteronomy chapter 6 about training children, or Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. But the Lord's model himself in Luke 2:52 says this: the Lord grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There was a way in which the Lord in his humanity was growing in wisdom. And so we make a big deal, teachers, of how important you are to the character and to the competence, to the confidence of our children. And so this is important to us to honor you today, because you go through all year and it's very difficult. And so on behalf of our church family, on behalf of our school board, we want to say thank you. So what I would like to do, could I have all the teachers? Now this means not just Perry Hall Christian teachers, but if you're involved in education at any level, I'd like you first to stand. And please stay standing. Okay, who's gonna go first? This is ridiculous. You know, what I would love to be able to tell the kids is that you get mad at them when they don't follow instructions. And yet you're just the same. So please stay standing. So thank you. First of all, can we give them a hand for stay standing? Stay standing. And did anybody not stand because you don't understand the instructions? Is there anybody else that teaches in any way? In administration, education, secondary school, elementary school, middle schools, homeschool, college level, everybody is standing, so thank you for that. Now here, listen, I'm going to pray for you. Please don't hear an obligatory message to say thanks. Please hear from the heart of your pastor and from the membership of this church, and bigger than that, from all the parents that are represented here, how much we appreciate all of you teachers in all that you do. And we know it's hard work. And we know that sometimes you're wondering, can it make a difference? Well, the teachers that had Dave Moyer were sure it would not make a difference. But they stuck with me, and my greatest memory of school, being here at Perry Hall Christian School, where the teachers were the most difficult, tough on me, in other words, but they did it because they loved me. So thank you for your care, thank you for your love and your mentoring, and most of all for partnering with parents in the education of their children. We appreciate you. Now, there is, all of you should have received when you came in, one of these. And this is for all of our school teachers here at Perry Hall Christian School. And this is a list so you can be praying for all the teachers at Perry Hall Christian School. And then when you leave, now this is one of those rare Sundays, stay standing, I'm almost done. This is one of those rare Sundays, this hallway is not open. Did everybody hear that when you leave? This is the only hallway you can use to leave. The reason being is there is prayer cards for all the teachers from Perry Hall in our family, not the teachers at the school. This is for the school. There is a prayer card for each one of you that teaches, many of you standing, and your church family is going to be praying for you throughout the year. Somebody in the church, many, will be praying for you, so don't miss those cards. With that said, let me pray for you while you're still standing. Father, what a joy it is to recognize our teachers, our educators, our administrators, our board members, homeschool families, moms and dads, higher education. And Father, we take time to recognize education because it matters to you. The way in which people partner together with families for the raising of children so that they may first and foremost know Christ and that we would have a chance to impact their lives. And we pray, Father, that you would bless these teachers. May they sense your presence. May they sense your strength in what they do. May they not lose heart in well-doing, Father. May you strengthen them by your Spirit. May they realize that each and every one of them is a minister for you, serving for you in the lives of young people. And Father, we live in a world that is upside down. We live in a world where our kids are literally assaulted with messages, overwhelmed with messages and indoctrination from all angles. And we thank you, Father, for those that endeavor to be truth and light and grace and mercy in the middle of this world that is suffering in so many ways. Father, bless them. May they know they're loved. May they know your hand is upon them. May they do their work with excellence. May they do their work with a sense of purpose. May they realize they work to honor you first, to then impact kids with the love that they show, even as a testimony to Christ, how they care for kids. And then, Father, may these kids grow up to be developed well, to be students that go out and make a difference and influence this world for truth and for mercy and for the glory of God. We give thanks for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. So that's part one. Part two of a missions moment today is we have the privilege of having some of our friends from SOZO children, some from the States and one from Uganda. You will remember a year or so ago, the kids from Uganda, the SOZO Children's Choir, were here. They performed for us. They've even been here on a Sunday morning. They've been at our school many times. And we have developed a relationship with SOZO Children that has just been so encouraging to us. Our prayer is that at some point they will become a supported ministry of our missions team here at Perry Hall in growing ways. But we're privileged to have them with us, and I'd like to just show a quick bumper video, and then I'm going to bring them up and pray for them. So please watch this video if we have that.
Hello, welcome to the Thrive Tour.
Yes!
Awesome. So, yep. So, admittedly, let me start this with this Saturday. Let me see what day it is. This is Sunday. This Friday, we had a memorial service with for Miss Shirley Butler. And she went home to be with the Lord about a week ago, I guess. And we had the service. And during the service, of course, Jim Maurer and Lori Rivieri did wonderful tributes to Shirley. She's been a member of our church since 1984. Health issues have kept her away the last 10 years. But we celebrated her life. And her family was there and her friends. And the church was, the memorial hall there at the funeral place was filled. And boy, were they enthusiastic worshipers while I was preaching. And I thought to them, I said, please, would you all visit Perry Hall? Because we really could use this energy. The service was unbelievable, listening to them praise the Lord as I preached. I say that because when the Sozo kids were here, most of us were, yeah, this is fun. And some of you are fuddy-duddies. It's just a reality. Some of you are fuddy-duddies, and you could not express yourselves properly for reasons that I don't know, as if there's some biblical principle that you could not get up and move around. So this is what happened last time the Sozo kids were here. Well, I want you to know that every year they've been here for the last few years, we've been privileged to have them here. As a matter of fact, this summer, our Adventure Camp kids brought in their pennies and their quarters and their coins, and they raised nearly $700 for Sozo. And we're just thrilled about that. That is very good. But they bring all of this energy, and it's wonderful. And we just want you to know that we want them to come back, but it's expensive. And so we'll hear more about that, how you can sponsor children in just a minute. They ended up in a deficit, frankly. Last time they were here, it's expensive to bring all the choir over here and spend 6 months on tour. We would love them to come back in 2027. So you'll hear more about that. With all that said, I would like to have Suzanne come up, and then Dowdy, would you join me real quick? I want to pray for you and just get a couple words in here. Okay, I'll let you start with that here. This is Suzanne. Suzanne is the CEO and founder of Sozo Kids. And this is Dowdy, who is the global director of something.
Global relations director.
Global relations director. That's a perfect job for you, Dowdy. There's no question about it. So I want them to just share a brief picture of who Sozo is. So Suzanne, you'll do that. Then we're going to talk a little bit about how we pray for you. So just give us a thumbnail sketch here of who is Sozo.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us. And thank you, Perry Hall, for loving Sozo. Our kids really do love you guys. And we told them, we just left and got back from Uganda, 24 or 48 hours ago. So we're still a little jet lag. But they were like, tell everybody we said hey, and all those sweet faces up there are just the ones that we left. But Sozo started 15 years ago. We were 15 years this year, which is a huge blessing. And we started out of an immediate need to save children in very vulnerable situations. Some of you that have heard me speak before may have heard me say that one of the little girls, which was 3 years old, told Dowdy and some other young men that because she did not bathe, the rats ate at her feet at night. And that was enough for this mama to say, I can't lay in my bed with my children sleeping and not do something to help this three-year-old that can't help herself. So that's how Sozo started. Sozo is a Greek word. It means to rescue and to save. So we've all been sozoed by grace, which is so beautiful.
Amen. Amen.
That's the name we chose for our kids. And through the years, we've seen all children thriving. We want to empower vulnerable children to become thriving leaders for Jesus Christ. We do that by giving them incredible education, private education, the best of medical care, the best food, the best homes to live in, and the best caregivers, counselors, social workers, everything to give them an opportunity. And we've had some success in that, mm-hmm. and it's been incredible.
Awesome, awesome. And so this is a brief visit for you and Dowdy and Ron, I guess, a brief visit. So what's going on while you're here? Are you just visiting with churches? I know we have a big fundraiser tomorrow, a golf outing, which, yes I am sacrificing.
You're playing. I know, you're playing.
I will be there. with many people from our church. What is this visit about?
So our dear brother Jerry Garland years ago called me on a random phone call from hearing about Sozo on the phone and said, I'm not a crazy man. I want to know more about your organization. And he started doing golf tournaments and raising money for us and has been an incredible soldier for Christ. And this is our 13th annual golf tournament this
year.
So I'm not playing golf, but they're going to play golf while we're here. And then while Dowdy's in town, are in country, we're going to visit some other churches and say hello. And then we have another golf tournament in Birmingham and a dinner fundraiser in Birmingham.
Okay.
So we've got him here to say hello and send love from Uganda.
So U.S. headquarters in Birmingham.
In Birmingham.
Children in Uganda. Good to have Ron. And Ron, what is Ron's role? He doesn't have to get up. What is Ron's role? Remind me.
Well, first and foremost, he's my husband.
Well, that's important.
Close to 35 years, so that's pretty important.
Yeah. But he just is a key supporter, armor bearer, chief security, all
he
those
things. He actually is our village project director, and he's built all of our buildings,
awesome.
Own property.
Awesome. And then over here is my friend Jerry, who has connections to this very church, and glad to have Jerry here as well, a dear friend. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
What is on the table? Not here.
Oh,
out in the hallway.
Out in the hallway, we have a table set up. The way Sozo does get sponsor or funding is by sponsors. You can sponsor a child for $39 a month. And there's some great cards of pictures of our kids. And that gives you an opportunity to write to them, to get information about them, their grades, and what they're doing. And then also, we would love to take you on a trip. I just took 18 people. The last couple of weeks on a trip, and we had a phenomenal time, so we would love to take you to Uganda and let you see firsthand.
Awesome, awesome. So afterwards, when you go out the only hallway that works, and you pick up your prayer card, and you make a turn, and you'll see the Sozo table, and there's where you can learn more about them and have a chance to sponsor kids. Keep in mind, folks, our church supports Compassion International through Bill Marshak and Chris's ministry. We love them. We love Compassion. We love Sozo. This is an organization that just has gotten near and dear to our heart when the kids come and spend time with us and you fall in love with them. And so we're grateful for you guys. I'm going to pray for you.
And you got to let Daddy speak just
one
second.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Daddy, you speak. I want to hear your sweet voice.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much to Perry Hall for the love that you have for Sozo. For the last many different times the choir has visited, you have hosted us and you have loved us and you have really just poured into this great ministry. I want to say thank you so much. The other lesson I've learned for the last 15 years has been for the great hand of God put a call on someone from one side of the world and then pairs that person to another side of the world to fulfill his calling. And this is me in Uganda with my team raising these wonderful, wonderful children. And I have seen one of our own, Junior, who is now graduating to become a medical doctor. Just looking back and just looking at this young man, I get the fulfillment of what God can do. Last week we had a medical clinic that we ran for 2 days, just seeing Junior, touching everyone, sitting back, watching him was just a blessing, and I was giving glory back to God. So thank you for all of you who have chosen to sponsor, and those of you who are thinking of sponsoring a child over in Uganda. We are over there, and we'll make sure we put your money where it's supposed to go. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Good. I'm going to pray. Hold on. Let's pray. Well, Lord, what a joy it is to have our friends from Sozo. Thank you for the vision that you put on Suzanne and Ron's hearts 15 or more years ago. And Father, for the wonderful things you have done in their midst and through them, Father, as you have endeavored to use them to change lives of these young children in Uganda. We thank you, Lord, for what has already been done and the way in which lives are being transformed. Children are thriving. And Lord, the work of even hearing from Daddy, the work in some of the stories that of kids that have gone on to do just wonderful things. Most of all, Father, their prayer is that these kids would come to know Christ, and that is where their heart is. And so we join them in praying for Sozo children, for the children that are there now, the children have come through their ministry, and the children yet to come. Father, provide for everything they need. And when you want them to return, Father, would you provide the means to get here in your time? Father, may their visit be fruitful. May many people learn about Sozo. May they find new friends and new supporters. May you even work today by your spirit that some in this church would be willing to sponsor a child today. Father, may this be an encouragement to them. May it be an encouragement to us to have face to face And Father, most of all, may the glory of Jesus Christ spread through the ministry of Sozo. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Take care. We'll see you afterwards. So don't worry, Perry Hall. I have a shorter message today, so we're okay. Don't worry. We had a lot to do. I had a few days away last week and was grateful to have Kenny share. Did Kenny do okay last week? Anybody think he did okay? Every week we try to decide if we're keeping him, and he just keeps coming through for us. And we love that man, and we love, of course, Tristan and Ken Mike, and just love their family. But in a minute, I'll tell you why it was so important what Kenny was able to speak on. So during this little time of extended study for me, I get to prepare the direction that God wants me to go for the year, my Wednesday nights, multiple Bible studies, my personal study and growth, and then the series that we're in finishing and the series that we're going to finish in Ephesians in a couple weeks. Everything in my studies for today was to preach the 13th, I believe, and final sermon in a series Behind the Veil. That was the plan. And you notice there's no Behind the Veil on the screen. That sermon has been now moved because it's very clear that God wanted me to move it until next week. It became very apparent as different events this week and in the past month continued to unfold in our country that every once in a while we need to pause and address the circumstances in our nation and the world we live in, and to be able to give a pastoral and, more importantly, a biblical perspective on the world we live in, the current events. That decision became more and more clear as the Lord was also working in Pastor Chris's heart. And if I had a perfect way to do it, I would preach half of this message and Pastor Chris would preach half because of the way God speaks to us differently. The same purposes, same goals, but says different things through each of us. But then I started to hear from members of our congregation that were struggling a little bit with all that was going on. And so it became clear that instead of preaching the final message, which was called, and we have all the printouts ready for your notes, was called Exalting Jesus in the New Covenant. And we will return to that 2 Corinthians 3 next week, Lord willing. But I think it's most appropriate that we spend a few minutes this morning trying to answer some of the questions we may have, addressing some of the feelings. But to make it even more clear, there were people that called me that were grieving for this country, grieving for lives lost, grieving for the evil that we face, feeling a sense of anger, and admittedly, even having emotions that went beyond the right response that actually got on the precipice of wrong responses. And understandably so. And so I thought it would be good if I would just look today at a couple things. The reality, number one, of the world we live in. And number two, the reality of our reactions, our emotions, our thoughts, that they're normal and God understands. There's a difference between God understanding, God approving, but the response, but the reality that there is an answer. And Mark, without even knowing, I switched a lot of things for Mark up until this morning to be prepared for the day because this was ongoing. And yet the songs, I think I'm telling the truth, they were prepared before I did all this. Is that fair to say? And if you noticed, if you are listening, and I know you are, every one of those songs was exalting Jesus. They were all about him and what he means to us and how he intervenes in our lives. And he is, you know, take this world and give me Jesus. Wouldn't you say that now? Take this world and give me Jesus. So my heart today is to provide some encouragement to recognize and not deny the reality of our emotions and our feelings. To respond in some ways to a generation younger than many of us, between high school kids, college, all the way up to young adults, early 30s, how are they processing what's going on around us. So that's where we are, and I would invite your attention to Psalm 27. As you could imagine, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of passages that would help us navigate through these emotions, through these feelings. More than ever, family here at Perry Hall, I am struck by the fact that that the only thing I know for absolutely sure, first and foremost, is this word of God is true, that his word is true. I went back and listened to sermons from 2001, September, you know, 9/11. I looked at sermons from the following days and weeks, and one of them was interesting. When the question comes up, why all this evil, why all this apparent tragedy and all these things, why all this? Where was God on 9/11 was a theme. Where was God? Well, the right answer was, as one great theologian said of the time, he was the same place he was on September 10th and September 12th, which he was on the throne. And this month especially has been heavy, culminating in the assassination of Charlie Kirk this week. And it seems like we reach a point of almost saying it's enough is enough. Lord, act. And we'll talk about it in just a minute. But I want you to hear a psalm written by King David that demonstrates his heavy heart for circumstances in his life that were extremely hard, extremely, extremely heavy. He was suffering at least persecution for sure. Whether this was a season when he was running from his own son Absalom, who was seeking his life because he wanted the throne, or whether this was David seeking rescue from Saul. Nonetheless, David is in a moment here of incredible suffering. And he writes this psalm, among others. And by the way, I just want to remind you of that. The Psalms give you a window into the human experience. Do you realize that? This is why the Psalms, no matter what you're reading in your Bibles, wherever your reading plan takes you, I like the reading plans that include a daily moment in Psalms and Proverbs. That's not a rule. But because the Psalms, let us see how godly people were thinking in difficult times, how godly people were processing, even to the point in what is referred to as imprecatory psalms, when the psalmist cries out for the judgment of God. Lord, would you take out the evildoers? Would you bring judgment upon all those that hate you and hate justice and hate mercy? And the psalmist prays for that. And so we see in the Psalms an expression of our own heart and the despair of our own souls in seasons like this. Read with me, I don't mean out loud, just follow along as I read. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. It in many ways matches up to Psalm 46. You know, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in struggle. Verse 2, let's get a glimpse at what David was dealing with. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, quote, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Listen to this. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then here it is, I believe, the word for us today. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I really only have a few comments, but I do want to pray that God would speak to us and would guide me and protect me from myself as I share. Father, what a joy it is to open your word again. Father, we have no place to go but to you. Father, in a world that is upside down and evil abounds and apparently seems victorious at times, when we're overwhelmed with the latest news headlines that come at us in ways like never before, Father, when we seem to wake up to new sadnesses and reminders of the brokenness of this world, Father, we take joy that you heal the brokenhearted, that when we are crushed in spirit, you give us strength and you console us and you care for us and you restore us. And Father, you give us a sense of security. Father, you are the answer through your Son to everything the human heart is feeling. And Father, for every fear, you are the remedy. But Father, most of all, we pray that today's few moments in your word would remind us that it is Jesus who we want to see. He is our help. Take this world, Lord, and give us Jesus. Lord, he is our hope. He is our comfort. He is the answer of all of your promises. They find their amen in him. Father, may he be exalted. And maybe, Father, even in your perfect wisdom, a sermon that was entitled Exalting Jesus in the New Covenant, maybe today this sermon is designed to exalt Jesus even in the darkness. May you be glorified today. May Jesus Christ be honored today. May he be seen as the only hope of a world dying in need of him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the reality of the world we live in, the pain and the suffering, no surprise to God. Often we feel surprised. We're overwhelmed at the extent of the pain and the suffering. And while there have been many attempts at theodicies, theodicy meaning trying to figure out the goodness of God and the pain and evil in the world. And these are good questions. And by the way, many people have them. And we're in one of those seasons now where we may be asking those questions. So can I throw in an application right here at the start? This may very well be one of the best times to talk to your friends. This very well may be one of the great platforms we have to ask good questions of honest seekers, inquirers. What do they make of the world? The world is literally physically groaning. Romans 8, 22 and 23 says the world is groaning for redemption. That's the physical, the earth is groaning. That same passage in verse 23 of Romans 8 talks about our very groans for redemption that is repeated throughout throughout the New Testament, including 2 Corinthians 5:2, this groan for redemption. And then it is most perfectly seen at the end of the story in Revelation 22:17, where it says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." There's this groan. As a matter of fact, this groan is so palpable that Charles Spurgeon said, "You can judge a person by what they groan after. You can judge a person by what they groan after." What are you groaning for? So we realize that the earth blew my mind, and somebody's going to come up and tell me the statistics are wrong. But even a picture of the earth groaning, I found out this week that they measure earthquakes groaning not in 10 or 20s or 50s or thousands, but in tens and tens and tens of thousands of earthquakes every year. Oh, wait a second, Moyer, you got that wrong. No, see, you're thinking of earthquakes of the magnitude of 8.8 out in the sea near Russia this year. You're thinking of earthquakes maybe in the 7.0 or 6.0. They stop at like 4.9. What you don't realize that there's thousands, tens of thousands of earthquakes every year. There are millions of babies murdered. Millions. There are 20,000 plus murders or near to it. There are tens and tens of thousands of abused children, physically and sexually. The list, folks, this is not meant to be a downer. I'm telling you, we do not have to deny the world we live in is sin-stained, sin-soaked, sin-afflicted. And it affects everything from the earth that we stand on to the lives we live, even down to the very lives in our own families are impacted. But then we see on this magnitude of the last month, and I'll just start on August 27th. So that's the last 3 weeks. When a young man wanting to be a woman named Robert or Robin Westman almost delightfully shoots into the mass at Annunciation Catholic School and injures over 20 people, kids, three adults, mostly kids, taking the life of young Fletcher Merkel and Harper Moiske. Two kids lose their... And you start to feel the emotions for these families. And then just a week or so later, we see this young lady on a train in Charlotte named Irina Zarutsky, and her life taken from her in a very brutal attack. And your blood pressure, what is this world coming to? When there's no connection between DeCarlos Brown and Irina Zarutsky, and there's no real connection between Robin or Robert Westman and Fletcher Merkel or Harper Moiske, and we're already in a position of feeling sad and angry and all these emotions. This is the reality of the world we live in. Then, this week, last week, the 10th, by the way, overshadowing three more people shot in a Denver high school on the same day is the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And this starts to change. And to watch Charlie's wife, Erica, share her story, if many of you saw that. Everybody I talk to says they weep watching Erica share. And by this point, the picture of a broken world is in flashing lights. And it's not that it's new, but you do realize the angles, the vantage points are coming at us so fast we can't even keep up with it. I went back and read the sermons the week following the assassination of John F. Kennedy and listened to the sermons. And by the way, if I took the dates out, you would say that I was reading sermons from this week. Same kind of things, same kind of stories, same kind of thoughts. And so by the time the news goes from Charlie Kirk, built on another of many, 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 many school shootings and mass shootings, and a young lady being killed on a train, and then all of a sudden this happens, and forget if you're thinking that Dave is motivated because a Republican mouthpiece was killed, you've lost your mind. This is a person, an image bearer, who happened to be politically right in the sense of his ideologies, his beliefs, and how he saw the world, and he was willing to share and have debate. But folks, this man loves Jesus. This is where we should be sorry for anybody that's assassinated. By the way, that is a very good test. Are you sad when that happens to anybody? Yes. But this feels different, not because he's better than us or better than a left side speaker, but what are the feelings of this that come to? He's 31. He's got a wife and two little kids, and he loves Jesus. And if you say, oh, I don't know if he loved Jesus, I read something he said. Wouldn't you love to have a picture of everything you said? I didn't say he was perfect. I didn't say I endorse everything the man said. But this brings us to a boiling point, does it not? The sadness is overwhelming. I looked over at Cindy, and I've heard this from so many, as she heard Erica speaking, and the tears just running out of her eyes, and Addison the same way over there, emotional. Feeling because she's lost her husband. He's an image bearer. And he stood up for how he believed, whether you disagree or not with everything he believed politically, but he stood up with what he thought were biblical principles. Family. I mean, one of his mantras was, get married and have kids. Let's have kids. The Bible actually backs it up, and that does not mean that people that don't have kids should feel less of themselves. They should trust in a loving God who has a plan for their lives as well. That's not his point. But it was making an impact. Then he's taken out. That's the reality. And here's the second reality, the reality of evil. The second reality is my emotions and yours. Did anybody have any emotions this week about this? Did you have any feelings about what's going on in the world? Let's think. Feelings, thoughts, emotions, anger. Hopefully, most of it righteous. We hate evil. We hate the evil that people perpetrate against others. We hate anything that stands opposed to God. So there is a sense of, oh, Lord, stop this senseless killing. Father, bring an end to the evil. These are some of the emotions. But sadness, you grieve with the people that Harper's parents, Harper Moisky's parents, and Fletcher Merkel's parents, and Irina Zarutsky's parents, and you weep for them. And by the way, I don't care if it shocks you or not, I weep for Tyler Robinson's family. I don't know him. I don't even want to know his name. He did the shooting. That's ridiculous. I grieve for his. Can you imagine the emotions on his dad's face as he's watching the news and they put up the pictures and it's your son that did this? Or the parents of Robin Westman or DeCarlos Brown's mom, who in exasperation kicked him out because he had schizophrenia. And I'm not making excuses defending the laws broken when a person breaks the law 14 times in 12 months or whatever the numbers. That's all messed up. But you don't think her heart aches? And then, of course, Erica and her family and all of his friends. So calls come in to Pastor Dave, and Pastor, I don't know what to think of this. I don't know what to make of this. I'm angry. And so far, so good. I'm sad. I'm confused. What's God doing when you have a spokesperson who is speaking for Christian principles and who has told everybody in the world that his main goal is that he would have courage for his faith? And I watch video after video of Charlie Kirk sharing the gospel is not come and get what you want. The gospel required a death of a Savior who came because we were sinners and he died for. You see, this is not just nothing. This is a voice for the principles that we preach. So it feels like the sadness, the anger is on steroids or turbocharged right now. But then the comments and the people graciously sharing on the phone with me, Pastor, I'm thinking beyond what I think is right, and I'm thinking about what is wrong. And what does that mean? That, oh, I want these monsters taken out. I want all of them that are fighting against my values and I want them taken out. I want them killed. That's what I want. I want them, and on and on. And then, with all of these feelings, we ask, well, is this going to change? Is this more the same? Is there going to be differences? Does this moment become a watershed moment in the history of this country? Maybe. I watch videos of people chanting positively in China or Korea. I forget where the video came from, or singing Amazing Grace in London. There is something that seemingly has affected the momentum of a conservative biblical viewpoint, at least Judeo-Christian ethics. And we rejoice in that. See, we rejoice in good. So the reality is that we have these emotions. I have them. I'm angry, but I will tell you, and just being honest, you got to be honest, right? I am more angry at the response of some to the death of Charlie Kirk than I even am about the murder of Charlie Kirk. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm upset at the murder and saddened by a senseless killing of another image bearer. But to watch people celebrate and mock. No Christian, no matter how far you are on the left, and that would be questionable, should celebrate the death of another image bearer. You don't even have that option as a believer. If you feel that way, today's the day to repent. We don't celebrate, and there's people on the right, I'm sorry, there's people on the left that I wish did not have their jobs. And by the way, many of them lost their jobs for the way they celebrated. But I do not want any of them to be killed, assassinated, or frankly, martyred for what they think their belief system is, like we've seen here. So now I have to guard my heart. Well, Pastor, this is all good and well. And that got me as angry as any of it. Why Psalm 27? Two verses from Psalm 27 that hit me. David, in conditions beyond what we can imagine of persecution and his fear for his life, does anybody seem to notice what he starts this psalm off with? And here, folks, lies a foundational principle for your confidence and your hope. Is David starts this passage off with theology. Isn't that interesting? Notice how he starts. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What is David banking everything or building everything that he's about ready to say of his life circumstances, microcosm of the world's realities? What is he basing his confidence in, his hope in, his trust? He is trusting in the God of this universe, who is his light, his salvation, his stronghold. This is where David begins, and folks, this is where you and I must begin. There is no approaching answers to why questions, to the brokenness and evil in this world, it does not start with your feelings or my feelings or our emotions, although they're real and God-given. The reality starts with who is God? Because that's where you will find bedrock, not in how you feel, because your feelings will mess you up here. They'll be good and they'll be crazy, they'll be across the board, and they could even be sinful, the way you respond. But here, David, and folks, look at this, it's not broad, it's personal. The Lord is my salvation. Your salvation. If you know Jesus Christ, he is your salvation. He is your light. He is your rescue. He enters in Jesus, Isaiah 53. We speak of Isaiah 53 at Easter when we talk about the death and resurrection of Christ. But think about Jesus in Isaiah 53, who came and was brutally beaten, and he was punished for our sins. And all the things that we think of that passion of Christ and him entering this world, and you can go back and read in Matthew chapter 2 of the evil world that Christ entered into. And he enters into our world as a human being, as a man, so that he can rescue us and so that he can be a light of our salvation and that he can be our rescuer, he can be our stronghold. But what is so amazing about he enters into that world is it's radically crazy from a human perspective that he would enter into our world and be willing to endure what none of us would be willing to endure. He was willing to endure. And as one author says, that is radical love. That is radical grace. And there we begin to see the solution is always the character of God, who is holy and we are not, sending his son in our place to die for our sins, and through those that put faith and repentance in him to bring us to Christ. That is the answer for all that ails this world. Look at David after mentioning some of the suffering in verses 2 and 3, verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after. There's a singular focus for David here, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Think of that as, I want that one thing, don't you? To gaze at the beauty of the Lord, to gaze at his goodness, to gaze at his mercy, to gaze at his comfort, to gaze at his sovereignty, to gaze at his providential governing of this world we live in, to gaze at a God who controls evil just like he controls good, to a God who is providentially working his plans out for the purpose of his own glory. And Romans 8 says all things work together for good. This was the story that Kenny shared with you. This was the story that Joseph's life depicts. It was never about Joseph first and foremost, as Kenny said. It was always about a God who is working invisibly at times behind the scenes. And I want to argue today, folks, he's invisibly working behind the scenes even now in this world that we live. He is the God who is the Savior who is exalted in the darkness. Daniel 2:22 says, he is in the darkness. And he is working. His invisible hand. Joseph didn't always know it. Jacob didn't know it. Job didn't know it. Job, like us, he's listening to Bildad and his other two friends, Eliphaz and Zophar, and taking advice. And we take our advice from social media and then anybody else says anything, when here is our foundation. And the foundation of this story is that the Lord we gaze upon sent his son into this world to die for sinners. And he will have the victory. He is working all things together. And let me tell you this, that in an ultimate sense, and I know this is going to be debated, their ultimate sense, there is no tragedy for the believer. Now you've got to think about that, don't you? Don't get me wrong, there's tragedies and pain throughout this world. All of us in some way feel that. But if indeed all things work together for good, it does not say that all things are good. It just says that all things work together for good. If you're a believer, there's no tragedy in your death, only a complete transition to the face of God. This is good news. Yes, we grieve, but we don't grieve as others grieve because we have hope. If you're not a believer, there is tragedy. ultimately, because you will lose your life and spend eternity in hell. But I want to leave this discussion, abbreviated as it may be, with the last verse of this chapter. So what do we do? What do we do? Through all of this, I like 13 as well. It says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, there's a big difference between believing in God and believing God. Let me say that again. There's a big difference in believing in God and believing God. David believed God. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Again, it says, wait for the Lord. That theme of waiting is repeated often in the Bible, Psalm 37:7, Psalm 62:5. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait. And while we're waiting, you have two important days to worry about as we're waiting and preparing and living for Him and living for His glory. 2 days is all you got to think about. Today and the last day. Today and the last day. Today is for Him. I'm waiting, living for Him. I'm bold. One of the beautiful pictures from Charlie Kirk's life is he was bold. Just go back and don't believe everything you hear. There is so much out there that truncates comments. And yes, that happens across the board. But look at the things he said to people. Look at the way he pointed Bill Maher, for instance, who has just about no sense. And he pointed him to the reality that the Bible is really God's word. And to another commentator who questioned, what is the gospel? And Charlie said, that's not the gospel. Not in his words, my words. That gospel, the world's gospel, is like a cosmic genie. Come to Christ and everything will be good. You'll get your... If I can sign this paper and come up forward at Perry Hall, I'll be good to go. And Charlie says, that is not the gospel. You must have a law and a death and life in Jesus. And it was just beautiful. And this happened over and over. It's not an endorsement simply of Charlie. It's an endorsement of a man that was bold. How can we remain silent? We will preach the word every week here and in everything we do. And you will run out of here and you will be the loudest ambassadors for Jesus Christ the world has ever seen. That's what we do. But let me finish with this Revelation finish. The book of Revelation finishes appropriately, Revelation 22:17, with this. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Do you long for heaven? No, seriously. Or do you love this world so much you don't want to go? I'm telling you, I love this world. I love you. But take this world and give me Jesus. I am ready to be with Him, folks. I hope you're ready, but are you longing for it? Just listen. I didn't know I was going to use this, but I'm going to use it anyway. So just bear with it. Doing really well here. Don't worry about a thing. I took this from the diary of David Brainerd. Anybody know that name, David Brainerd? Let me tell you, folks, this is my fault that all of you don't know that name. I take full blame. Every person in this church should know the life of David Brainerd and a missionary to the Indians of New England. In the 18th century, he died of tuberculosis in the home of Jonathan Edwards at the age of 29, and Edwards put together the life and diary of David Brainerd. Here's a quote from David Brainerd's diary, 1742, June 12th. It was a Saturday. Brainerd says this: I spent much time in prayer this morning and enjoyed much sweetness. I felt insatiable longings after God much of the day. I wondered how poor souls can live that have no God? Think of that today. How do you live without God? The world with all of its enjoyments quite vanished, and I see myself very helpless. I love Psalm 86:1 that I've been studying a lot lately. It says, incline your ear, O Lord, I am poor and needy. If you are poor and needy, you understand this. If you don't think you're poor and needy, you're actually more poor and needy than the poor and needy. Listen to the rest of this. But I have a blessed God. He talks about he feels helpless. But I have a blessed God to go to. I longed exceedingly to be dissolved and to be with Christ. To be dissolved. Do you feel that more than ever right now? And does it give you a sense that maybe there is God's purposes unfolding before our eyes in a dark time? Might have moved that. To behold his glory. Listen to this last line. Oh, my weak, weary soul longs to arrive at my Father's house. I hope you long like that. I hope you're groaning for that. When Johnny Erickson Tata is asked, can't wait to get to heaven, Johnny. You'll get some new legs and a new body. And she said, yes, for 40 years or whatever it is. That's what I want that. She goes, but oh, I want something more. I want to be with him and in his presence and in his holy. That's groaning. You judge a person, Spurgeon said, by what they groan for. She's groaning to be with Christ. So the Bible ends with this idea, and maybe this is the right place to end today. The Bible ends with, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So to conclude our time today, instead of the team coming up, I want you to listen to a brief video music song. And I think this encapsulates our heart's desire. So listen to this video, and then I'll close us in prayer.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm
come Jesus, come. We've been waiting.
One day he'll come, and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be
you'd all stand with me, please, as we pray. I admit, guys, I don't want to leave. I want to be with you. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Father, you are so good. And if our hearts are really in tune with yours, we'll realize the purpose of suffering and all that's going on in this world. The purpose is that we would know you more deeply, more intimately. That's the answer. Lord, our suffering is really more about you than us. Father, may we leave here today longing for Jesus to come. Father, hear our broken hearts. Incline your ear, Lord, because we are poor and needy. Lord, and if there be anyone in this room that does not yet know the living Savior and Lord Jesus, Father, will you use your Spirit, open their hearts and their minds. Give them the courage, Father, to run to you for help. Father, we will offer prayer after the service, but Father, may you be glorified to change us today. May we love and pray for the victims. May we love and pray for the perpetrators. May we pray for our enemies. May our heart be pure, because your word tells us that it's the pure that will see you face to face. Father, be glorified. Have your way, whatever your purposes are through today. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bill and Becky, if you could make your way to the library, if that's okay. In the back corner, if anybody would like prayer. If you feel the Spirit working in your life today and you need to talk, back in the prayer room in that library, they'll be there. Otherwise, we'll see you out at the Sozo table. Jerry and the gang, go right out that way and beat them to the table. Go out and make a right. Hi, honey.